Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch. John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It's Friday, the 7th of February, 2020. We are live and have been each weekday since January 2011, as we launch in now to our 10th year here on the radio in Tucson on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, and all of our podcasts, quite an archive of podcasts available for you on your schedule at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, Friday we like to do a big shout out to these are people in the Southern Arizona media who support us with a direct link to from the Buckmaster Show, from their homepages, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications includes Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today with State Senate President Karen Fan. Karen, a Republican representing Arizona Legislative District Number 1, which is primarily the Prescott area, before serving in the Senate. Senator Fan spent 6 years in the Arizona House of Representatives. Senator Fan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for being with us. Also joining us in the conversation with Senator Fan, veteran journalist Luigi Del Puerto, associate publisher of the Phoenix-based Arizona News Service, where he oversees the editorial and business units of the Arizona Capital Times, the political tip sheet known as the Yellow Sheet, and the Legislative Reports, which focuses on day-to-day activities at the state capitol. Luigi, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Doing very well, and thank you for joining us in our little mini news conference here with Senator Fan. Senator Fan, we are approximately 1 month into legislative session 2020. How would you characterize the way things are going?
Let's see. Can it be smooth and hectic at the same time?
Awesome.
It's interesting. You know, we are working, we started on the budget last September with the anticipation of getting the budget done and trying to get out in a reasonable time so it didn't drag on like it did last year. And we're doing really good on the budget side of it. But in the Senate alone, we've had 741 bills dropped, which is an all-time record.
Wow. What can you tell us about the? Do you like this budget plan, this spending plan?
Well, we're still negotiating on it, but all in all, yes, because we're all on the same page as far as what our priorities are, which is education, infrastructure, and public safety and corrections. So, yeah, we're all on the same page on that.
All right, Luigi. Senator, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, Senator Fan, thanks for joining the show. Where are you in so far as trying to get the Democrats to support the Republican Senate proposal in the Senate? If you could tell us a little bit more what updates you may have on that end.
Well, Luigi, I don't have a lot of updates. I will tell you that starting in November, in December, I have met with every single one of our senators, ours and D's alike, to find out what their personal priorities are, what they might need in the budget. The Senate Appropriations Chairman and Vice Chairman have been meeting with all of the department heads since last September to make sure that we understand what their needs are in all of those categories. I have been asking, with all due respect to my friends on the other side, I've been asking for their budget because they keep telling me they're doing their own budget, but I haven't seen it yet. And I keep asking for it every week. And they said, we're almost there, because they're trying to come up with a unified budget, Democratic unified budget of a House and Senate together. And I don't think the two sides can get quite on board yet.
Well, it's very clear that they're not on board yet, because they've been moving that day that they're supposed to roll out their budget. But, you know, regardless, I'm wondering if what you are going to do a little bit different this time around to try and get the Democrats more on board. As you know, they always complain, the Democrats always complain every year that they're not part of the budget process. They're not really sitting, they don't have a seat, at the table. And so I'm wondering do you have a new tactic this time around to get them on board?
So what you said is not exactly true, quite honestly. I mean, I can't speak for past Senate presidents, but I can speak for last year and this year. I happen to have a very, very good working relationship with all the Democrats over there. We have a joint minority meeting every week, meeting with their leadership team and their chief of staff to discuss, you know, what's going on, what do we need to work on, you know, where can we work together, where we can't. So I also, in those conversations, know that they are very much in line with what the governor laid out, and they have seen the Republican House and Senate, and because we're very close to the governor, they say, in general concept, it looks like we're pretty much all on board. There are a few things that they would prefer different, and I'm sure that has to do with certain programs or something like that, but we're not that far off. And when they say they're not invited to the table, that's not really true. They have always been at the table, but what they have not been is invited to the quote cage over at JLBC. And to my knowledge, that has never happened in the history of Arizona.
You're not going to try inviting them to the cage, it sounds like it.
No, and quite honestly, if this was a Democrat-controlled Senate or House, there was no way they would invite Republicans to the cage because, you know, that is more of a policy discussion. We talk about, you know, the policy of what we want to have, and then we start talking about the numbers. If we were to have the opposite party in there, the budget would never get done. It's part of that fine line of negotiation. It's hard enough just to get our Republican members on board.
And let me interrupt. What is the cage?
Oh, yes.
I forgot. If you don't know.
It makes it sound like.
Yeah, it is. And it's like cage fighting sometimes, too. It's over at JLBC, over at those offices across the street where we all meet to hash out the fine-tuning of the budget, kind of neutral territory.
That's the Joint Budget Committee over there.
Yeah. Correct. That's the Legislative Committee.
Yep.
That's correct.
That's the legislature's budget research arm, and they prepare the baseline budget for everybody to then modify.
All right. I want to ask Senator Fan about her bill. This is SB 1222, which moved by a 4-3 vote out of the Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Energy. This would, I understand, be a bill that would forbid Arizona cities from telling developers they cannot build buildings using natural gas. What is that all about?
So, and it's a delicate conversation, and let me put it in context, is I am a past vice mayor for City of Prescott and councilperson, and I'm a past three-term mayor for the town of Chino Valley. So if anybody supports local control in our cities and towns, it is me. So here is lies the context. As you've been hearing over in California and a couple of other states that are now looking at it, where Berkeley, Palo Alto, some of those, the councils have literally gone in and banned natural gas. One municipality is even going so far, they're either Oregon or Washington, I forget what, going so far as not only banning it, but they are actually going to make their people, their constituents, take the natural gas appliances out of their houses.
What?
And they're, I guess, yes. And I guess supposedly they are going to be offering some stipend money to let them replace them with something other than natural gas. This is all part of that Green New Deal. Interesting, natural gas has always been touted as one of the cleanest types of energy. It was coal that we were trying to get rid of, but now for some reason they're targeting natural gas, which means that propane is a derivative of that. I believe this all goes back to part of that fracking. But anyway, the point of this is some things are local control, some things are state controlled. And when we're going to talk about regulating utilities or whether they should be allowed or not, that should be a state discussion, not a municipal, because it affects everybody in the state. So hypothetically, if Tucson were to decide to outlaw natural gas, that affects all the ratepayers in the entire state. It affects the way we do the infrastructure. It affects all of that stuff. Let's say, hypothetically, Pima County, who has also signed in opposed to this bill, says it's local control, and they say, I don't want to have mining in our county anymore. We think that mining is bad. We don't think it's environmentally good. We're going to ban all the mines. Can you imagine what our municipalities and our state would be like if everybody was allowed to decide what they wanted to do in the form of energy and natural resources?
Well, that would be amazing if, we use natural gas at the Buckmaster household. Somebody comes out and tells me that we've got to pull all our appliances out. What the heck?
It can get crazy. I mean, it's like, it's hard to believe that we're having this conversation, but the bottom line is we understand that environmental policies are important to the state. We understand that we want to have clean water, clean air, and safe for everybody. But that's something that should be done on a statewide issue, because everybody, the economy's involved, ratepayers involved. That is a type of item that is not a local control issue.
And Senator Fan, just to clarify, at this point, you don't have any inkling or any kind of a report that suggests that any one of our cities or towns is in fact contemplating something like what California is doing, right?
It was the reason this bill came up is because there was an environmental advisory committee to one of the city councils, and it came up in that advisory committee. And that's what raised the red flag, no pun intended, of, wait a minute, seriously, people in Arizona are starting to talk about this now, and we need to do this preemption. Now, it's interesting because that particular municipality came to me and said, oh, no, we'll never do this. We'll never do this. But when we dropped the bill, they were the first ones to sign in opposed and saying, oh, yeah, well, it's local control. We reserve the right to be able to do this. And then we had the Sierra Club that testified against the bill in the committee, and the Sierra Club admitted that, yes, that they are pushing for this very, very hard, and their intention would be to go to all other cities and make them do the same thing.
Hmm. All right, we're going to take a break right here. Senator Fan, please stick around. Luigi, stick around. But right now I want to tell everybody about my favorite bakery in town. And this is a great place to go for all your pastries and really the breakfast that they do. They open up at 6:30 each morning. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve made a large investment, saying, I think I'm going to put in a special grill for breakfast. And it's been going very well. Right now, they're open for lunch. But if you'd like to do breakfast now, that's not a problem. Stop by Mona's. They're on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link at buckmastershow.com. Not only Mona's, but we have links to all of our great partners who make this program possible. We'll be back with Karen Fan, the Senate President of the Arizona Legislature, and Luigi Del Puerto of the Arizona Capital Times. We continue with our mini news conference in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026, and the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Friday Focus interview here in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Fridays, we take a deep dive into a particular subject. Today, our deep dive is into what's going on at the Arizona Legislature. On the live line, we have State Senate President Karen Fan, also on the live line from Phoenix, from the Arizona Capital Times, Luigi Del Puerte. Go ahead, Luigi.
Yeah, hi, Senator Fan. I think I'll be remiss in my duty as a journalist if I don't ask you about the sexual harassment allegations against Senator Ugente Rita. Last time we spoke with you or with the Senate spokesperson, the sense that we got is at this point you're really not interested in pursuing an investigation. Part of that may be you don't have an ethics complaint in front of you, but can you walk us through sort of the rationale, the thinking behind your approach to this, if I may call it a scandal?
So I am truly not trying to be invasive here. I'm just telling you exactly what the deal is. This is a situation that was already investigated over in the House, and they already had findings of that, number one. Number two, as a result of a lot of that, there is ongoing litigation regarding all of this. And it is our policy in the Senate, we do not comment on anything that is in litigation.
What happens, ma'am, if somebody files an ethics complaint precisely on this one? Can you tell us how you might handle such a complaint?
Well, we do have procedures in our Senate workplace and sexual harassment policy and the procedures, and that's a part of public records, Luigi, so you may already have it. If not, you can request it. We have procedures about how that goes about, and if you have a complaint, who you file it with and what the procedures are as to we do an initial determination to see if there's any validity of it. We also have a rule in there that says that if a third party files something, that the it can only go forward if the victim is willing to be a part of the investigation or the case. So that is another place there. Then the procedures go, if it's an official one that's filed and the victim is willing to participate and go forward, it goes to the ethics committee, and then they will do their research and their investigation on it. And then there will be a determination that comes out of that after the ethics committee would advise the rest of the body what they found or did not find.
Senator Fan, you said earlier in the interview, because of your experience with the city of Prescott, you're a big backer of local control. I wondered how you feel about this effort that would enshrine a ban on sanctuary city policies in our state constitution. In other words, the voters would be asked whether or not they would want to ban sanctuary cities, basically from Arizona.
And that is not a local control issue. That is a federal law. So where do we draw that line where any municipality, or in some cases even states, where do you draw that line where they start passing ordinance that says, we're going to follow this federal law, but we're not going to? What if a municipality said, we are going to be a sanctuary city for income taxes, so we're not going to pay our income taxes, or we're not going to do A, B, or C? It's a slippery slope that you can go down, and once you go down that path, there's no place to stop. It just keeps going. So there has to be this understanding of this fine line, is what truly is local control issues and what should be left up to the state or the federal government. Now, I will be the first one to admit, and I can't think of an example off the top of my head over the last 20 years, but I know that as a municipal person, there was a few times the state would try and step in on something that truly was a local control, and I push back on the other side that that wasn't a state issue. And don't ask me an example because I can't think of one right now, but I know I've done it.
If people are allowed to not pay their income taxes, I think a lot of them would be quite happy with that. But Senator Fan, you mentioned the record number of bills introduced in your chamber. If I'm not mistaken, I think you encouraged, ask your members to please not introduce as many bills. They just decided not to listen to you. Huh? Is that what happened?
Oh, Luigi, you know, it's an election year, right? So everybody's got to hit the campaign trail saying, I dropped a bill for this. So, for example, our winner of the senator who introduced the most number of bills went to Senator Juan Mendez with 89 bills.
What?
Of which maybe 6 will actually go through committee. I mean, it was everything from taking In God We Trust off of our money or out of the prayers or you name it. There was a lot of it. So Juan's got the award for the most at 89. And Senator, I believe, Quesada was number 2. I've got the list because I thought this might come in. Senator Quesada was number 2 at 79.
Whoa.
Bills.
So I'm sorry, again, just say I'm sorry, go ahead, ma'am.
And I was going to say, and again, maybe a half a dozen of them will actually get a hearing.
Whoa.
So you're not going to hear 89 bills from Juan Mendez and 79 bills from Martin Quesada? That's not going to happen?
No.
I have assigned them to the committee chairs, and I'm sure the committee chairs will weed through them and decide which ones actually have any chance of passing that's, you know, worth having a hearing on it. Obviously, some bills, and this is both sides of the aisle, Luigi, you know that. We've got some pretty crazy Republican bills that get dropped, too, that never get hearings. Because if we tried to do that, we would be there all year trying to have hearings on everything. So if the bill doesn't have a chance in heck of passing, then the chairman won't even put it on an agenda.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, Yale, just a quick follow-up on that, Senate President. You have this, you started imposing this rule in which you would look at a bill and decide that if it's too controversial or for some reason you don't think it's going to get enough support, but it's going to raise a whole lot of controversy, that you're not just going to sign that bill. So basically you're the gatekeeper from the get-go instead of allowing your chairpersons to do that. Can you tell us a little bit about the rationale for that?
Well, and partly of a lot of that is the fact that it is an election year, which, and I said from the day one with everybody, and this isn't just about social issues. I said, you know, we have a goal here. We know that 2020 is going to be a very, very controversial year from the federal on down. You see what's going on. You see what's going on Twitter and Facebook and in the media. And it's just going to get worse and worse as time goes on. Frustrations are going to level up, ratchet up. So my goal is, you know, we're down here to do the people's business. We were elected to come down and actually pass good policy and find good reasons to make sure that we spend our money wisely and on the items that our constituents truly want. And we already mentioned a couple of those. And so I am focused on the policy and focused on getting through that. All of these other things that are nothing more than distractions, and I'm not saying they're important. It's just that we know that there will not be a consensus on a few of these things. And my point was, is let's not spend time on things that we know are set up from failure to begin with. Let's just move on. And if these issues are important, we can talk about them next year. We can do it. But let's not do it in an election year where things start to get personal.
All right.
We're trying to keep this on a professional level.
All right, Senator Fenn and Luigi, I want to jump in with a big issue here in southern Arizona, and that's our local roads, the condition of our roads. And a Prescott lawmaker, Representative Noel Campbell, a Republican from Prescott, is seeking to double the state gas tax. Is that going anywhere, Senator Fenn?
Probably not. Now, let me give you a little heads up. I own a highway construction company that I've had for 35 years, so I have actually been working on this issue for 35 years.
Okay.
We have not raised our gas tax since 1991. We are at 18 cents a gallon, which is about 10 cents a gallon less than the national average. We are not even keeping up with inflation. Literally, if you look at inflationary costs, we are getting about 40 cents on the dollar now. So this has been very important to me for many, many years. However, it doesn't seem to be important to many of the voters. It has gone on the ballot a few times, and it has failed every time. And so you either have this, we have a legislative body or a government or a governor which might push back and say no new taxes, which is a good mantra that is used sometimes. And then if we are lucky enough to get it out of there and get it on the ballot, the voters have turned it down every time for over 20 years now.
Hmm.
So do I have much hope? I wish we could accomplish something like that, but my hopes aren't too high, particularly in an election year like this. Again, there's a lot of other competing things on that ballot, raises in education funds and recreational marijuana. There's just an awful lot of other issues that I don't think this issue is going to get the time and attention that it needs to try and get it passed if it were to get to the ballot.
Luigi, I've got about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, I guess the only question I have left, ma'am, is, you know, I think last time we spoke, we talked about sine die. When are you getting out of the state capitol? April 1st? Is that still a goal of yours, or has that changed given how many bills you're having to deal with?
Well, I'll tell you what, they call me Pollyanna because I always look at the glass being half full and always shoot for the best. So, you know, my sine die, which, you know, it's a hope and a prayer, but I was hoping April 6th. That's the day that everybody's got to turn their petition signatures in and all their paperwork and get out there and start hitting the trail. So my hope is April 6th. Let's see how close we can get to that.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I've got 2 minutes left, the governor says shutting down the Florence State Prison would save millions. I'm just curious, and I think some of our listeners here in Southern Arizona are as well, Senator Fenn, where would those 4,000 inmates go?
Okay, so right now we have the Florence prison and we have the Iman prison, which is about 3 miles away. Both those prisons are only about 50% full.
Okay.
And both of them are wholly understaffed. So a good portion of those Florence prisoners would go over to Iman, as well as all of the staff, all of the correction officers, the health care officers, the counselors, everybody would go over there so that you would have a better ratio of staff to prisoner over there. So there is a big piece of it. The other piece of it is We do have a number of inmates who are in jail right now, in prison right now, because of drug offenses or something that is nonviolent. Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, they're not there just because they, you know, smoked a joint. They're there because they were dealing drugs or doing something in many cases to support their drug habit. And what we would like to do is take those folks and get them into something more of low security, like a county jail, like we're doing up in Yavapai County, and spend those resources instead of on big prison costs. Let's take that money and spend it on programs and counselors and things like that to get them back on the right path again. If drugs is their problem, let's get them off of drugs. Let's get them back on the right path. Don't throw them in with the heavy criminals because they're only going to go further down that path.
All right, Senator Phan, thank you very much. Luigi Del Porte from the Puerto from the Arizona Capital Times. Thank you, Luigi, and hope both of you have a great weekend. Thanks.
You too,
Will. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's the Buckmaster Show in the 10:30. The Voice, the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, The Voice, your trusted source for local news talk. That concludes our Friday focus portion of the program. Coming up next, our roundtable portion. Jim Nintzel is with us on the live line. We'll join Jim right after this on the Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan. And talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further, the folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 20 minutes before 1 o'clock. It's the Friday roundtable portion of the program today in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Let's go now on the live line to Jim Nintzel. Jim is the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, which is part of that portfolio of publications, part of the Tucson Local Media Group. Jim, how are you?
Doing great. Bill, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. What can you tell us about what's going on with Mark Kelly and his run for United States Senator against Senator Martha McSally? When it comes to fundraising, Kelly is winning that one big.
Oh, he is. He's raised, I think, close to $20 million.
And wow.
$12 left on hand. Martha's raised, I think, about 12 and has about 6 left on hand. So he's got about a 2-to-1 advantage over her. And as I'm sure you remember, Bill, Martha was always very proud of her ability to raise money, that
yeah.
She has, was out raising Ron Barber when she was challenging him in the congressional races and pointing out what a show of strength it was that a challenger was outraising an incumbent. So the shoe's on the other foot now. Mark Kelly obviously has a great deal of celebrity behind him from the fact that he is a former Navy fighter pilot as well as a former astronaut, and of course the husband of Gabby Giffords. And he had already some fundraising capacity built in from his work with the Giffords group on the anti-gun violence efforts. So he's probably the top recruit in the nation for Democrats at this point, and this is going to be one of the most watched races. Martha, of course, is coming off a loss, first Republican to lose a race for a U.S. Senate seat in Arizona in 30 years, and when she lost to Kyrsten Sinema, and then, of course, got appointed to the seat by Doug Ducey, but once again has to go out there and defend it again and raise that money all over again. And whoever wins this is going to have to run again in another 2 years, because this is, of course, the seat that John McCain held. So that's the normal end of this term. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think, one of the most closely watched races in the country. And Mark Kelly is leading in the polls so far. And in a lot of ways, it's a grudge match because, of course, the same people who worked for Gabby Giffords worked for Ron Barber when he was in Congress. And, of course, they had two races against Martha McSally, one which Ron Barber won and the second which Martha McSally won. So this is almost like the third time the charm between these two camps, the camp Gifford, Team Giffords and Team McSally.
Have you talked to the Kelly people recently about these numbers?
I talked briefly with Rod McLeod, who's working on that campaign, they're happy with their numbers, but they plan to keep pushing it and raising as much as they can. And of course, even no matter how much these guys raise, we're going to see those third parties rolling in here and probably spending as much, if not more, than the candidates themselves. So, I don't know if you caught that ad recently that targeted Martha McSally by the Lincoln Group. This is a group of folks who are former Republicans, including some folks who used to work with John McCain here in Arizona, John Weaver, and also George Conway, the wife of Kellyanne Conway. And they just went after Martha McSally, calling her a Trump hack, and just a very brutal ad focused on Martha McSally, comparing her very unfavorably to folks like John McCain and Barry Goldwater. And, she has really struggled to win over Arizonans. There's the poll numbers just show that compared to Kyrsten Sinema, she is underwater in terms of her approval rating here in the state, and just is not Arizona's favorite elected official.
Well, I think one of the problems that Martha McSally is running into, if you go back, Jim, to the Kelly Ward battle I guess you could call it a battle, when she faced off against McSally. Many people thought McSally just wasn't conservative enough. Why don't you address that?
You know, that's something that I think Martha's well aware of, which is why she has fallen so closely in line with President Trump. She is definitely trying to prove to those folks that she is the true conservative. And I think that is a pocket of the Republican Party, but I don't think it's a big pocket of the Republican Party. We're certainly not seeing a challenge to Martha McSally taking off with this Daniel McCarthy guy. He just seems like a joke. Even though there are a few people out there who are, you know, supporting him against Martha McSally, I don't think it's a deep swath of the Republican Party, because I think she has definitely, certainly through this impeachment process, been fully in Trump's corner and is not at all critical of him on anything. So.
And this liberal hack thing.
Yeah, you know, that was, I think, something that was pretty calculated. She knew that she was going to be asked that question. It was hardly the first time she'd been asked that question. I think she threw that out there again to try to gin up the base. You know, they videotaped, the team McSally videotaped it and tweeted it out, and she was going around on the Fox network talking about how proud she was about this. They were selling T-shirts to raise money off of it. So I think that was a purely calculated thing. But I also think it did not go as well as she might have hoped in a lot of ways. I mean, you had, you know, the Eastern Arizona Courier, for example, a newspaper that had said that she was the right choice for Doug Ducey to appoint to the office, really came out and was critical of her. And you saw her try to defend herself in the Republic last week, saying that, you know, she's just a straight shooter and she calls it like it is. But, you know, my history with Martha McSally, as well as many other reporters, is that she doesn't actually call it like it is. She dodges and weaves and does not really answer too many tough questions when they're put to her, and she thinks there's some liability for landing on one side or the other.
I want to talk quickly here about the presidential primary. The primary is coming up very quickly, and there's some information that is real important, and FN Rodriguez wanted to get on the show as soon as possible, and right now I was fully booked, but perhaps you can articulate a little bit, Jim, that you have to be a Democrat to vote in this primary, correct?
Yeah, if you want to vote in the Democratic primary, you have to be registered as a Democrat. The Republicans canceled their primary, so there's nothing for Republicans to do on that March election day. But you have to be registered as a Democrat, and I think you have to be registered as a Democrat in the next couple of weeks. I think the deadline is February 14th or 18th or something like that. Sorry, I don't have it right in front of me at the moment. But yeah, you have to. Unlike our other primary elections, where you can be an independent and go in that day and say, "I'd like the Democratic ballot or the Republican ballot." For this particular thing, you have to be registered as a Democrat.
And it's February the 18th. You have to register to vote in the September 17th primary.
Right. So, yeah, if you are interested in voting in that, get out and vote. Get out and get yourself registered, because otherwise, I'm sure this is going to happen. A lot of people are going to show up and not be able to vote. They're going to be very disappointed.
All right, Jim, before I let you go, and I know we're going to talk some more about this with Jeff Rogers and John Munger on our Monday political face-off. David Brooks writing in the New York Times today, Jim, saying the Dems really are, right now, it's kind of a low point. They're in some real trouble here. Trump's numbers are now over 50%, the highest, 51%, I think it is, his highest approval rate. The Dems are in trouble right now, Jim Nintzel.
Well, you know, we're going to see where things go from here. You know, there are some polls showing his approval rating going up. I think on average, they're still somewhere in the mid-40s, but we'll see where that goes from here. A lot of time before this election, but the Democrats are definitely, struggling to figure out who their nominee is going to be, which is, I guess, the process you go through in these situations. But it looks like Joe Biden's coming out of Iowa in a pretty rough place. Bernie Sanders seems to be in a good place. Certainly a lot of Democrats who are not Sanders supporters worried that he would be have a lot of liabilities against Donald Trump, but I think he's Donald Trump's going to be hard to beat no matter what. He's an incumbent president, and the economy is doing well. So we will see where things go here, but
Iowa,
interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Bloomberg.
Iowa didn't help.
Iowa did not help, and you know, these caucuses, I've always thought they were a little bit screwy, but I think this one definitely folks should be rethinking whether they should be doing a caucus at all and whether Iowa deserves that first-in-the-nation situation.
Well, the problem is with many of the Sanders people, if Bernie doesn't get it, they're not going to vote.
That, right, and they're going to say it was rigged against him and all the rest of that.
Yeah, but it is interesting to see whether we will see a man who can perhaps buy his way with Michael Bloomberg, buy his way, buy a nomination, basically.
Yes.
Yeah,
and he's spending in Arizona. He's you know, he was up in Phoenix last week. He's had a bus tour roll through Tucson this week. They had a rally for him this last week here in Tucson. And I think there's a lot of curiosity about him, especially as people are wondering whether Joe Biden's really up for this fight, and folks are looking for an alternative in that moderate lane. I think that's one of the reasons Mayor Pete did as well as he did in Iowa.
And for all those people saying, oh my gosh, look at all the candidates we have on the local races, I always remind them, anyone can declare. Jim Nensel, you could declare right now for whatever office, but you got to get the signatures to get on the ballot.
Right, right. And after that, you have to raise the money to run a real campaign. So we'll see how many folks actually manage those thresholds. And a lot of deadlines on that front coming up in the not too distant future.
Okay, what's on the cover of the weekly?
Cover of the weekly. This week it's Beer Week, a big celebration of cerveza in the old Pueblo.
Wow!
So, pretty excited about that. And next week is our big Spring Arts Fest supplement. So big, so much going on in this town.
And
it blows my mind every week.
Your longtime arts writer, Margaret Regan, will be contributing on Tuesday on our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. So, Jim.
Margaret's so great.
Isn't
I'm so
she?
Lucky to have her on board.
Yeah, I know. Jim Nensel, have a great weekend. The best to you and your lovely family. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Bill, and same to you.
Thanks a lot. Jim Nensel. The executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim was talking about beer. That would be a great segue into You Know What? Weekend Watch coming up next with Matt Russell in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 The Voice, your source in Southern Arizona for trusted news talk. Buckmaster continues with Matt Russell right after this.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Time to stir it up. That's our theme music for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive to the Chocolate Festival. That's what's going on tomorrow over in Silver City. Chocolate Fantastasia, a day devoted to chocolate. Sounds good to me. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of so many great places to stay and all sorts of ideas of how to recreate in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And now, without further ado, here's Matt Russell, President and CEO of the Tucson-based award-winning Russell Public Communications. Matt is the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage Editor, knows a lot about food, and I'm glad the segue was good from Jim Nintzel talking about their cover story about beer this week in the weekly, because it is, Matt Russell, the kickoff of Arizona Beer Week.
It sure is. I love Nintzel talk about that earlier in the segment. This weekend kicks off a full slate of Arizona Beer Week events all over the state, and here in Tucson, there are more than I can count, but I got to start somewhere. There's a tap takeover today at 5 o'clock at the Whole Foods on River and Craycroft, and they're going to be featuring beers from Flagstaff's Mother Road Brewing, one of my favorites. Another fun one tomorrow is the Hazed and Infused event at Tap and Bottle downtown, where numerous hazy and hoppy beers from all over the state are going to be flowing. And all weekend long, Bill, at 1055 Brewing Company, they're going to have an event called Eat Your Beer, which will feature different variations of a chef-prepared dish that incorporates their own beer. Talk about your Sedzi celebration, Happy Arizona Beer Week.
Anything going on at the farmer's market? Or presumably, Heirloom is leading the way here.
Absolutely. And for those who want to learn a little bit more about our local farmer's market community, they're doing the second Sunday event at Heirloom Farmers Market, of course, at Rieto Park, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock Sunday morning. They're going to be hosting tours that will show you how to best navigate the market, offer some smart shopping tips, have a discussion of what's in season, and some other strategies. Both tours start at the center circle of the market, of course, near the Rieto Racetrack's parking lot, and you're just going to love getting to know our local farmers. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Okay, what would a weekend watch be without some mention of a wine dinner?
You got it. To wrap up your weekend, why not join me at Charro Del Rey downtown Sunday night for a wine pairing dinner that will feature wines from Napa Valley's Robert Craig Winery. Now, this four-course Epicurean evening is going to pair some fabulous dishes like the Wagyu beef filet and lobster tail with wines that have earned my own wow factor, like the 2016 Spring Mountain Cabernet. There are fewer than 10 seats remaining, Bill, so grab your reservations now by calling Charro Del Rey at 6-4-5-19-22. It's going to be one for the books.
And I pat myself on the back, leading the way with laryngitis in early December, and I'm sure glad it's spreading around the community. No. You've got a little of it, too. It has to hit everybody, right?
Is it that obvious, Bill? Is it really that obvious?
Not at all. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Cheers, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show. A presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music by our friend Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. Also thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing. The entire team at Bustos Media wish you a safe and pleasant weekend.